Es khazav zeh nish be bakh khaz khoshag be yud hudem sag es khul und daf kuf yud gimel. But my by rochel salted meat of a shechted animal with meat of an animal that was a treif and a keli with holes. He went to Rava to ask whether the shechted meat was mutter to eat. Rava said, a brisa says that a pasuk teaches that the juices of a sheretz are usher as well. This teaches that the juices of a treif of meat are also usher, and therefore these juices make the shechted meat usher as well, because the meat absorbs the treif of juice more easily than blood, and it can even absorb it while it's discharging its own fluids. Frech the Gemara, why didn't Rava base his reason on Shmuel, who said that something that's salt is like something that's hot? So after the Gemara, without the Braisa, we wouldn't know that the juices of a piece of treif of meat are usher. Once we've established that juice as being the juices being usher, we can use Shmuel to teach the shech that meat absorbs these juices. Frech the Gemara, Braisa says if a kosher fish was salted with a non-kosher fish, it's mutter. Presumably, this is referring to where both fish are salted. We see that since the kosher fish is discharging its own juices at that time and won't absorb the juices of the non-kosher fish, this refutes Rava. And for the Gemara, the case is where only the kosher fish was salted and a non-kosher fish was not, and therefore the non-kosher fish is not discharging anything. For the Gemara, the later part of the Braisa says if the kosher fish was salted and a non-kosher was not, it's mutter. This suggests the early part of the Braisa discussing where they're both salted. For the Gemara, the later part of the Braisa is explaining what the first part of the Braisa is talking about. In fact, we have to say that's the understanding of the Braisa. If we say that the first part of the Braisa is discussing where they're both salted and still the fish is mutter, so there'd be no need for the Braisa to then say when only the kosher fish was salted is mutter. That would be obvious. Rather, it must be the second part of the Braisa explaining the first part of the Braisa. The Gemara says this is not a valid proof. It may be that the first part of the Braisa is discussing whether they were both salted, and although it's no chiddush, the second part discusses whether only the kosher fish was salted, just to make it clear that the first part is talking about where both were salted, because without the second part, we would have explained the Braisa to be discussing only where the kosher fish was salted, and in that case, that's mutter. We would then say that if they're both salted, it would be usher. In fact, the last part of the Braisa then says if the non-kosher fish was salted and the kosher fish was not, it's usher. This implies if they were both salted, it's mutter. And for the maybe that the Braisa uses this case only to parallel the earlier case of where the kosher fish was salted and non-kosher fish was not. It was not meant to imply that when both are salted, it's usher. So my Vayta Shmuel said, meat does not fully drain its blood unless it's salted very well and is then rinsed well. Rav Huna said, we salt the meat and then rinse it. Rav Braisa says, the meat is rinsed, then salted and rinsed again. The Gemara says, they don't argue. Rav Huna is discussing meat that was already rinsed at the butcher. The Braisa is discussing meat that was not rinsed at the butcher. Rav Dimi of Narado would salt meat with thick salt and then would shake off the salt. Rav Mishashia said, we don't assume that there is blood in the innards, and if it was cooked without salting inside, it's therefore mutter. The Gemara identifies the innards as the rectum, the stomach, and the large intestines. Shmuel said, we put salted meat only on the keli with holes. Rav Sheshes would only salt meat one piece at a time. The Gemara says the reason he wouldn't put two is for the concern that blood would go from one to the other. The same concern exists when salting one piece of meat, that the blood would go from one part to the other. Rather, there's no difference between salting one piece or salting many pieces. Shmuel ben Rav Chiya said if someone shechted an animal and then broke its neck before the animal died, he would make the meat very heavy because the blood doesn't rush out anymore, and therefore he steals from people because he's selling meat that weighs more, and the meat is sold by weight, and he causes the blood to be absorbed by the limbs, therefore making it weigh more and getting more money for it. For example, does Shmuel mean to say that it's usher only because he's cheating people, but for himself would be mutter because it's not a problem with the blood, or does he mean that even for himself it would be usher as well? Teku blaipta shaila. Zuck, the next Mishnah, if someone brings up bird meat and cheese onto a table, he's not over on a lav. Zuck, the Mishnah implies that one who eats bird meat and cheese would be over a lav. We see the Mishnah holds that bird meat with dairy is also deraisa. That's not correct. Rather, you could say that the Mishnah means if someone brings up bird meat and cheese onto a table, he cannot even come to be over on a lav, since even eating them is not also deraisa. Zuck, the next Mishnah, meat of a kosher animal with milk of a kosher animal is also to be cooked together and is also bano. Meat of a kosher animal with milk of a non-kosher animal, or meat of a non-kosher animal with milk of a kosher animal is mutter to be cooked and is mutter bahano. Rabbi Kiva says meat of a chaya and of a bird are not also with milk deraisa, because the pasuk says l'svashu glibach alev imoy three times, which excludes the meat of a chaya, of a bird, and of a non-kosher animal. Rabbi Yossi Glili says the pasuk says l'soichlu kol nevela, and afterwards says l'svashu glibach alev imoy, which teaches that only meat that could be also as nevela is also with milk, which includes the meat of a chaya. We would think that this includes meat of a bird as well. The pasuk therefore says bachalev imoy, which excludes birds, since mother birds don't have milk. Fechtmar, how do we know that the pasuk of Gedi includes other animals as well? And Gemara Belozer says the pasuk says Vayishlach Yehuda es Gedi ha'izim. This teaches only when the Torah follows Gedi with izim does it refer exclusively to goats. However, when the word Gedi is used alone, it refers even to cows and sheep as well. Gemara maybe instead learned from the pasuk that the word Gedi only refers to goats. Gemara says there's another pasuk that says V'yeis oiris gedoyeh ha'izim, which teaches that this refers to goats only because the pasuk also says ha'izim. However, if Gedi is stated alone, it refers to other animals as well. Gemara, why can't we learn from this pasuk that the word gedi only refers to goats? For example, we now have two psukim that teach the same thing, and we have two psukim teaching the same thing. We don't learn from them to other places. For example, there's a view that says we do learn from to other places, even when we have two psukim saying the same thing. And for example, the psukim each say ha'izim with the hay, which teaches that only in these psukim is gedi limited to goats. So Gemara Vayta Shmuel said gedi comes to include the chaylev in the iser of basar b'chalav, cooking chaylev with milk. Gedi comes to include the meat of an animal that died without shechita, and the third gedi, the pasuk is written three times, comes to include the meat of a fetus found in a shechted animal in the iser as well. Also, gedi comes to exclude blood from being aser with basar b'chalav. Gedi comes to exclude the placenta from this iser, and gedi comes to exclude the meat of a non-kosher animal from this iser. The word b'chalav imoy comes to exclude the milk of a male animal. B'chalav imoy comes to exclude the milk of a shechted animal, and the third b'chalav imoy comes to exclude the milk of a non-kosher animal. In fact, the word gedi is written three times, and yet we use it for six drushas. If Gemara Shmuel holds that an iser takes effect upon another iser, and therefore the inclusion of chaylev and of meat of an animal that died without shechita are learned without need for an extra pasuk. Also, blood and a placenta are not meat of an animal, but are rather discharge of the animal, and the pasuk is therefore not needed for them. This leaves two extra pasukim. One is for the basic iser of basar v'chalav. So one comes to include the meat of a fetus, and the other comes to exclude the meat of a non-kosher animal. In fact, the Shmuel really hold that an iser can take effect on another iser. We find that Shmuel, in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, said the pasuk regarding a tamei kayin which truma says umesu boiki chalalu, which also teaches that if the kayin ate tamei truma, he would not be chayav misa because one iser will not take effect upon another iser. And tomorrow we can say that normally hold it does take effect, and it's only over there that he holds it does not, because the pasuk uses the exclusionary word of umesu boi, the boy. We could also say that normally he says one iser does not take effect upon another iser, but regarding basar b'chalav, the words the gedi teaches that it does. We can also say that his view regarding basar b'chalav is his own view, and his view regarding truma is the view of his Rebbe Eliezer. Shekhtemar Bachtavoy Ami asked Rav, what's the halacha if someone cooked meat in milk of an animal that has never given birth yet, so it's not called imoy, and therefore the iser maybe doesn't apply to such milk? Rav said, since Shmuel said b'chalav imoy comes to exclude the milk of a male, we can learn that only a male is excluded since it can never become a mother, but a female is included, even if it is not yet a mother, since it can become a mother. So Gemara Vayta, if someone cooked chaylev with milk, Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi argue. One says he'd get malchus, the other says he would not. In fact, maybe we consider machlekes is that the one who says he gets malchus says one iser can take effect upon another iser, and one who says that he does not get malchus holds that an iser does not take effect upon another iser. After Gemara, no. It may be that it all say that an iser does not take effect on another iser, and therefore for eating chaylev cooked with milk, everyone would agree he would not get malchus because the chaylev was already oser before being cooked with milk. Machlekes is only regarding the cooking itself. The one who says that he would get malchus holds that there is no iser of cooking chaylev, and therefore the iser of cooking it with meat takes effect. The one who says that he does not get malchus holds that the iser of eating milk and meat is written in terms of cooking, to teach that if one would not get malchus for eating the mixture, he would also not get malchus for cooking the mixture. Another terrace, we can also say that everyone agrees that he would get malchus for cooking chaylev and milk. Machlekes is regarding the eating of this cooked chaylev. The one who says he does not get malchus holds that since it's already oser, we cannot have the iser of basar b'chalav take effect upon it. The view that says that he does get malchus holds that the iser of eating meat and milk is written in terms of cooking, to teach that if one gets malchus for cooking it, he would also get malchus for eating it. Third teretz, we can also say that they're not arguing at all. One is stating that there's malchus for cooking it, the other is stating that there's no malchus for eating it. In fact, Gemara Brai says that pigel noiser and tomei that were cooked with milk carry the malchus penalty. We see that the iser of basar b'chalav takes effect on top of other isurim. And if Gemara Tana Brai holds regarding all isurim, the Tana of this Braisa holds regarding all Yisurim that one Isser does take effect upon another Isser.